something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you ask two people the same 7 questions. I'm Minnie Driver, and this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same 7 questions, including Courtney Cox, Rob Delaney, Liz Phair, and many, many more. Join me on season 3 of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. 7 questions, limitless answers.
Hello, from Wonder Media Network, I'm Jenny Kaplan, host of Womanica, a daily podcast that introduces you to the fascinating lives of women history has forgotten. We've always been intrigued by stories of disappearances. Whether it's a fraudster from the 17th century who kept evading the authorities, or a novelist who taunted the Nazis and faked her own death, we all want to know, what happened next? To find out, listen to Womanica on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Go behind the wheel, under the hood, and beyond with Car Stuff from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hey, Ben, how you doing?
I am doing pretty well, Mr. B. Scott, yeah. Benjamin, how you doing?
I'm doing all right, thank you. I've got a couple things I want to get off my chest before we start this one.
All right.
Totally catching you by surprise here, but just a couple things.
I will absolve
and
you.
And I promise you it eventually leads into what we're talking about today.
That's fine, either
all right.
way.
All right. Things I saw today.
Stuff Scott sees?
Yeah, and I guess not all of them are today, but stuff Scott sees, yeah.
All right, let's do it.
All right, this morning, on the way in, I rounded a corner here in Georgia, and I saw a Can-Am Spider. You know, the three-wheel motorcycle?
Yeah, the one
with the two in front and supposedly really easy to ride thing.
Mm-hmm.
Bright yellow. Really cool. I rarely see these. I've seen maybe two or three in all of Atlanta, and I saw one this morning. I thought that was pretty interesting.
That's nuts. Were they driving or
you know
it parked?
I was going right, and they were turning left onto the road that I just came from. So I didn't get to see it really at all. I didn't get to look at it. But I don't know, just kind of interesting. I never really get to see that stuff. Another thing I saw today.
What's that?
This is not very interesting, I don't think, to many people.
I don't know. The spider's pretty.
So I pull into the gas station, and I'm not getting fuel. I just pull in, and there's a white car that's next to me. It's a Chevy, what is it, HHR, I think. One looks kind of like the PT Cruiser kind of looking thing.
Yeah,
similar,
okay.
Anyways.
Yes, yes.
White car, covered with mud, right? On the whole side, the passenger side, which is where I am. So I thought, well, that's kind of weird that they were, you know, you just don't see that very often.
Maybe, I guess they got splashed.
We're in the city. Right?
You don't
and
see that.
And it's covered with mud, a real dark, dark mud. So I get out of the car, and I quickly realize that this is manure.
What?
Manure. And it's a white car covering the side of the car. I mean, it was horrible smell.
The size of that cow, Scott.
I don't know.
The size of that cow must be.
I thought it was odd.
It's a gigantic cow.
Yeah. And like I said, this has nothing to do with what we're talking about today, but I figured I'd mention them.
Are you kidding? This is a public service.
Well,
we need to warn people to look out for that cow.
Now, here's a couple things I've seen in the past, and these do lead into what we're talking about.
I do love a segment.
All right. I have seen recently a Volkswagen Bug that was red, a Beetle.
Mm-hmm.
It's dragging its horn on the road in front of it as it was driving down the road, which I thought was a little strange.
Yeah,
and the person gets up to the traffic light or whatever, you know, because I see this thing hanging in front of just two wires or whatever, one wire or whatever it was. It's dangling on the ground, so it's bumping along in front of it. The person gets up to the light, and the person uses the horn that is hanging down below to honk at the person when the light turns green. You know how I mentioned that that's one of my peeves?
Yeah,
so
yes.
I'm already looking at this red, it's a brand new Bug. For whatever reason, the horn's hanging off of this thing on the ground, and it's operational.
Weird.
I know, strange.
Well, but that is strange. But usually people, I would say I do have a stereotype about people driving Bugs and Beetles. In my experience, they tend to be pretty nice people. So
agreed. I can't.
Yeah.
Honestly, I know that this sounds terribly boring to anybody else, but I just thought these were some unusual things that I spotted this morning and maybe the last couple of days. And this last one, ties into exactly what we're going to talk about today.
Here we go.
Volkswagen Beetle history. That's it. Simple
That's
as
what
that.
We're
because
about.
We've got a couple of. This just isn't quite going right.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
I think you're doing a great job. I'm having a fun time.
Quiet room. Tough room today.
Well, it's tough room, huh? You're doing that Mel Brooks thing?
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah. So we've got a couple of pieces of listener mail that have been interested in the Volkswagen Beetle in particular.
Yes.
And I know we're going to make one guy stand up and cheer here, but the other one just kind of mentioned it in passing, so I'll mention him first.
He might cheer too.
His name is Clint, and Clint is from... From the internet.
Clint from the internet.
Yeah, that's right. He didn't tell us where he's from, so he's from the internet. He wanted a podcast, want to hear a podcast about the VW Westfalia or the history of the VW Beetle, and we're taking the Beetle road today. The next one, now this is a guy that's really into the Volkswagen Beetle, I can tell, and I've got the photos to prove it here. He sent a lot of images along with this, but he sent me a lengthy email, which, you know, I like, of course. He sent, his name is Gary... And I'll give you his nickname here. Gary Skiprat Higgins.
Skiprat.
That's right.
Nice one, Gary.
He's from the UK. And he also had a couple of suggestions for our nicknames based on today's topic. And
oh, yeah?
Yeah. So here we go. Ben Baja Bolin.
Baja. Nice.
Yeah. Okay. Like the Baja bug. Uh-huh. And Scott the Thing Benjamin.
The Thing.
Yeah. Scott the Thing Benjamin.
What do you think about that?
He calls himself Skiprat. So Baja the Thing and Skiprat. Anyways, he sent a lot of good photos, but he says that he's noticed something about our podcast, and particularly, I guess, the way he views our podcast or listens to them.
Oh, yeah?
He says that no matter what our topic is, he can somehow relate it to his favorite topic, his favorite species of auto, as he calls it, the air-cooled VW.
Mm.
So he gives me a bunch of examples here. He says low-tech farm equipment. He saw a farmer one time that was plowing a field with something that looked like it used to be a VW bug.
What?
Kind of strange. Alternate engines. He's talking about like the you know the Porsche flat six, a V8, Subaru engines that you can put into Volkswagen Beetles that we talked about. Jay Leno has a VW bug in his collection, VW bus in his collection, his massive collection. The Gumball Rally that we talked about, that's been done in a bug. There's also movie cars. You know, of course, there's Herbie and there's a Volkswagen bus in that Little Miss Sunshine movie that he mentions. Also says Pike's Peak. He says someone must have gone up Pike's Peak in a modified bug, and I think he's probably right.
Mm-hmm.
I would think that someone has because there's a ton of classes in that race. Vehicle wraps. He met a guy in a car park one time who did his own wrap up on his own. He has a bay window van, and he did his own vehicle wrap on that vehicle. Concours shows. He goes on and on and on with the list of similarities you can draw between just about every topic that we talk about and the Volkswagen bug or Beetle, as it's called.
Well, you know what that reminds me of, Scott, just a little bit? some of my friends, when they just have children, everything you talk about goes back, you know, can somehow relate
to this child. I can understand. I really do. And I know you understand. You talk about that Monte Carlo all the time.
Yeah, man.
So no matter what we're talking about, you try to slip that in somehow, right?
But for the grace of that beautiful car,
see,
I would be walking.
You can't fault Gary for this.
I mean, it's
just his frame of mind. Right now, he has a 71 bay window VW camper.
He's had
it for more than 15 years.
Wow.
And he sent photos of this. He has actually swapped an engine.
Yeah, I remember the photo.
Oh, you remember this?
I remember the photo.
Yeah, he's got the engine of this thing. He was on his way to a festival, I believe. And he swapped the engine in this thing, just in a parking lot, it looks like, and it's laying out on a crate. He and a couple of guys are at the back of this thing. They've got the engine out, the exhaust out, everything out. He did this in 2 hours. He changed the engine with it, and he said all he had was a scissor jack, an adjustable spanner, and a screwdriver. And that's
it. And an ironclad will.
Exactly. 2 hours. He swapped the engine out, and they made it to the festival.
That's amazing.
Cool, huh?
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots as I sit down with inspiring women like Misty Copeland, Brooke Shields, Vanessa Hudgens, and so many more. We dive into how these women made their pivot and their mindset shifts that happened as a result. It's a podcast about women, their stories, and how their pivot became their success. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Every family has skeletons in their closet. Mine certainly does. Ones that go back 100 years and reach thousands of miles back to our hometown in Sicily. Ever since I can remember, my relatives told the story of my great-great-grandmother who was killed by the mafia. I'm Joe Piazza, and in my new podcast, I'm taking on a generational vendetta, visiting the scene of the crime, confronting mafia experts, tracking down Italian officials, and even consulting mediums to set the record straight on my great-great-grandmother's mysterious disappearance. And in between the fact-finding missions, I'll be drinking a lot of wine and eating all of the pasta. Come to Italy with me to solve this 100-year-old murder mystery. Listen to The Sicilian Inheritance on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi there, I'm Bob Pittman, Chairman and CEO of iHeartMedia. Welcome to Math and Magic, stories from the frontiers of marketing. This week, I'm talking to the one and only Ryan Seacrest.
Love the connection to people. I think at the core, what I get excited about, what gets me up in the morning, is connecting with people in an unscripted, unvarnished way. It's getting to say something to them, hear back from them, know that I'm part of the routine. And I look forward to getting on the air. I look forward to it.
In these exciting times, we're looking to the math, the strategy and analytics, and the magic, the creative spark, more than ever. Listen to Math and Magic on our very own iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.
Yeah. So, I don't know, for these guys, for Clint and Gary, we're going to talk about the Volkswagen Beetle today.
Yes, let's. And when we start, to quote the Mad Hatter there, let's start at the beginning and go through the middle, and then when we get to the end.
All right. We'll try to make this quick, because that was a heck of a long
intro.
Oh,
that was the caterpillar. Well, was whatever. That was good. We did listener mail already.
Well, you know? to get into this, really, I'm going to give you a tiny bit of Porsche information, because really, Ferdinand Porsche was the guy who had the idea for the Volkswagen Beetle, or the Bug.
And what is the idea?
Well, the idea is that it's the... This was, in a way, you know, it's his idea. I'm kind of talking across myself here, but in a way, it was Porsche's idea. But Hitler came up with, yeah, that's right. Hitler comes into this.
Adolf Hitler. We're not talking about, you know, some Jeremy Hitler.
No. This is Adolf Hitler. He comes into the picture in a moment. But first, I got to tell you about Porsche. So let's just do that, and we'll get into it. Okay.
Yes.
All right. So. First of all, you hear a lot of people say that the Volkswagen Beetle or Bug was Hitler's idea. Not necessarily true.
He
used his power to kind of take over that idea. Mm-hmm. And it was really Porsche's idea, Ferdinand Porsche. Now, this is you know, turn of the century type stuff, because he was born in 1875. So you're talking about, you know, real early 20th century stuff right here. He, at the time, you know, he was working on, he worked for Astro Daimler, which made Mercedes. And, he also worked on the, Mercedes SSK road cars, which are probably what made him the most famous. Mm-hmm. And at the time, again, at the time, he was by like the 30s, maybe the early 30s, he was known as, Germany's best engineer, if not, you know, the best engineer in the world at that point in time. So, you know, extremely well known. He ended up going to a motorcycle manufacturer, NSU, which also was the company, I believe, that made that radial engine or rotary engine that we talked about in the Rotary Engine podcast.
Yes.
So he worked for NSU, and that's where he developed something that he called the Type 32, which was a rear-mounted, air-cooled, flat-four engine that eventually went into this prototype that he had that, I'll tell you, looks an awful lot like the Volkswagen Beetle that you and I know.
Oh, yeah?
So, yeah, the prototype in 32 looks just like... You would be able to, you know, pick it out instantly as a Volkswagen Beetle.
It sounds like it has some of the main characteristics, rear-mounted, air-cooled.
Exactly. So, this is like 1931, 32 is a year.
Okay.
In 1933, that's when Hitler became chancellor.
Yes.
And in 34, at the motor show, that's when... Hitler decided that he announced that he wanted the same type of car that Porsche was already building. Mm-hmm. And he said, I want, you know, something that's going to be affordable, something that's, you know, for everybody.
The people's car.
Exactly. So you know the name means, right?
Yeah. Well, I know the English name of it.
Oh, go ahead.
Well, I thought it was the people's car.
I guess. I mean, I thought maybe had a little more dramatic lead into it. No, that's all. That's all. Oh. I thought maybe you had a little.
Sorry.
No, it's okay.
Still the thunder?
No, not at all. Not at all. I just thought. Never mind.
You know what? Let's do it. Wait. Let's put in. We'll put in a drum roll, and then we'll both say it together. Okay, ready?
The people's car. Yeah, that's right. So they had the people's car, right? And now this is at this point, it's a. And I'm doing air quotes, collaboration between Porsche and Hitler at this point, because he really just said, I want you to do this.
Can I just take a moment to say, this is pretty much typical behavior of politicians. You know, it's just very advantageous to say, oh, that good idea is now somehow my idea.
Yeah, and you're already with it. Yeah, you're already working on it. So why don't we work together?
Mm-hmm. By which I mean, I'll just make it seem as though I told you to do that.
That's exactly where this is going because remember, Porsche was building tractors by 1934.
Yes,
and remember we talked about those too, from 34 to the early 60s, I think. And so he was already working on what he thought was like the affordable version of a tractor for everybody. Now he's trying to work on the affordable version of a car for everybody. And you know, Hitler steps in at that point and says, he wants it to be small, durable, air cooled, which is exactly what Porsche is working on, right?
Right.
And he called it the Volkswagen that we talked about. And he said he also wants it to be less than 1,000 marks, which is right about $250. So a very affordable car.
Sure.
Again, we're talking about the early 30s, so $250, that was a significant amount of money at that time, but not so much that every family couldn't still get one if they had saved and planned for this. That's kind of the idea, is that, you know, not everybody's going to instantly be able to get one, but it will be a lot easier than the automobile prices that were already there.
Right, reasonable for the middle class to aspire to.
Exactly. And so at that point, he ordered 3 prototypes to be built. When the prototypes were requested from Hitler, Porsche went on a tour of American factories, manufacturing plants, in mid-30s. 1935, I think it was. And by 1936, he did have the 3 prototypes ready. So there are 3 prototype Volkswagens ready to go in 36. And Hitler announces then later in 37 that they're going to go into production and they're going to build a new factory, which is now the Wolfsburg factory, which is still there. But here's what happened. Then Porsche goes back to America, recruits technicians. You know, he's getting this whole thing rolling, ready to go. Then the war hits. So we're talking World War II hits, and Hitler is otherwise occupied.
He's got some stuff going on.
He's got some other things on his plate at that point. So the strange thing about this is he says, well, we've got this idea going, you know, that's already going well. Now I need a military vehicle. And he says, can we adapt what we've got to be a military vehicle?
Can we essentially weaponize the Beetle?
Exactly, yeah. Somehow make it usable by our troops. And so, of course, he does that. He modifies the Beetles, and he creates, I think it was, I don't know how many military vehicles, but he did create these military vehicles that they looked a lot like a Jeep. They had, you know, big off-road tires. Mm-hmm. And one of them is this Schwimmenwagen.
Schwimmenwagen. Is that an amphibious vehicle? Really?
You know, I don't even know if I know I didn't pronounce that right. But here's a picture of it, and so you can look this up online. It's Schwimmenwagen.
Schwimmwagen.
Oh,
Schwimmwagen.
Be Schwimmwagen. That's right.
Right.
You're right.
Schwimmwagen.
I'm not even going to try anymore. Schwimmwagen. So he made a Schwimmwagen, which is an amphibious vehicle that looks like a Volkswagen. You can see the Beetle characteristics in this thing if you look it up. And I guess it would go as fast as about 15 miles per hour on the water, which is not bad, really.
Not bad, especially on water.
And for something that really wasn't designed to be an amphibious vehicle to begin with, it was just modified in order to make it work.
It's World War II.
Exactly. Yeah, World War II.
Back then, that's a while ago.
You're right. So here's the strange part about this is the Wolfsburg plant was still building these things. And after the war... The original blueprints were still in the factory. They're in the factory, and that factory happens to be within the British territory. So They
no
start,
way.
Yeah, so they start producing up to 1,000 Volkswagens a month in like the late 40s. It's like 1946, I think, they started making about 1,000 Volkswagen a month.
The British?
Yeah, that's right.
Wow.
Which is really strange. I mean, so they've got the blueprints, the factory, everything's there. They just do it.
Can't blame them.
Yeah, I guess you can't.
Yeah, so that's a good idea.
I guess we could kind of skip forward here. You know, it's a popular car. It became popular in the U.S. around around the 60s and 70s.
Ooh, flower child.
Exactly.
Let's paint some flowers on that bug.
A couple of other designs, like the Super Beetle, and then there was some suspension upgrades in that, and some steering issues that were ironed out.
Before we leave World War II, just a real quick segue. One of the interesting things, Scott, we earlier mentioned the requirements that Hitler claimed to have come up with for the perfect people's car of Germany, right? And they happened to pretty much have a one-to-one match with all the stuff Porsche was already doing.
Yeah, isn't that strange?
It's convenient.
Yeah.
How about that?
Yeah.
It's almost unbelievably convenient.
Yeah.
But there's also, we almost skipped my favorite one, which is where he said, nowadays we have a reputation or we have a common stereotype of these bugs and beetles as being smaller vehicles.
Mm-hmm.
But according to Adolf Hitler, they were the exact specifications he wanted to be able to fit the perfect German family in there.
Oh, boy.
Remember?
Yeah, I do remember.
Which
this.
Is like two parents and then two kids and somehow always a baby.
Yeah.
Because who
right.
are you going to fit in that middle seat?
Well, that's the thing. It was designed to fit five people, which was two adults, three children. And like you said, the ideal German family is what he called that.
Which is ridiculous to me to think that that design, the question is, did Porsche modify any sort of design stuff, or was that just something that was politically beneficial for Hitler to claim?
Yeah, I really don't know. I mean, it's really strange. I don't know if he did modify it in any way, but if you've ever been an original Beetle, they're pretty tiny inside.
Yeah, they're tight quarters.
Relatively.
Yeah.
Relatively, yeah. I mean, you got some room in the front, but if you get in the back,
I know.
That's like it's built for kids.
That's why I think the middle seat has got to be the baby seat.
It must be.
We couldn't fit five of us in there.
Must be.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots as I sit down with inspiring women like Misty Copeland, Brooke Shields, Vanessa Hudgens, and so many more. We dive into how these women made their pivot and their mindset shifts that happened as a result. It's a podcast about women, their stories, and how their pivot became their success. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I never thought I'd take my three young kids to Sicily to solve a century-old mystery. But that's what I'm doing in my new podcast, The Sicilian Inheritance. Join us as we travel thousands of miles on the beautiful and crazy island of Sicily, as I trace my roots back through a mystery for the ages and untangle clues within my family's origin story, which has morphed like a game of telephone through the generations. Was our family matriarch killed in a land deal gone wrong? Or was it by the Sicilian Mafia? A lover's quarrel? Or was she, as my father believed, a witch? Listen to The Sicilian Inheritance on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi there, I'm Bob Pittman, Chairman and CEO of iHeartMedia. Welcome to Math and Magic, Stories from the Frontiers of Marketing. This week, I'm talking to the one and only Ryan Seacrest.
Love the connection to people. I think at the core, what I get excited about, what gets me up in the morning, is connecting with people in an unscripted, unvarnished way. It's getting to say something to them, hear back from them, know that I'm part of the routine. And I look forward to getting on the air. I look forward to it.
In these exciting times, we're looking to the math, the strategy and analytics, and the magic, the creative spark, more than ever. Listen to Math and Magic on our very own iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.
So, we're back to the 60s.
Yeah, we're pretty much wrapping up the history of this thing because, we'll get into the modern stuff. I think you're going to talk a little bit about the modern stuff, right?
I'm going to complain a little bit about
that's no problem.
Stuff.
But one thing I do want to mention before we move on, is that the Beatle in, I believe it was in 1972. Mm-hmm. 1972, it finally passed the Ford Model T as the, I want to get this right, the longest run of any single model. So the Model T ran from, actually the Model T ran from 1908 to 1927. It had a 19-year production history. Mm-hmm. And they built 15 million cars. Well, in 1972, the Beetle finally passed that number by, producing 15 million vehicles. But remember, that one had been around since, I guess it would be the... the 40s, is that right?
Yes.
I don't know when the actual, because, we're talking about all these prototypes and then finally production, mm-hmm. which started in 40s, the mid-40s.
Let's say the 40s.
Yeah. I mean, I wish I had the very first production number, but I don't.
Well, we can find it.
Yeah, I'll have to dig into that.
Or Gary might. And Skip Rat might know.
So, but the thing is, that was 1972 when they finally passed that. Mm-hmm. Then Ford said, "Well, wait a minute, we've mistaken. We've got some revised production numbers we've come up with here." But mm-hmm. then Volkswagen, of course, continued to produce the Beetle until I believe it was 1985 in Mexico. Mm-hmm. So they were producing. This is really strange. Up until 1985, and they were producing them in Mexico and then importing them or exporting them back to Germany. So a lot of the bugs that are in Germany right now that are from that later era
are actually hecho in Mexico.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. So, but they've, I think it was in 1981 they actually had produced their 20 millionth.
So 20 million.
20 million, and that was in 81, and they went on another 4 years to produce that original Beetle design.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, there was a gap. And then they came back with the new Beetle.
The modern design.
The modern design.
Which
That's
is,
right.
And we did tell Clint and Gary that we were going to talk about the history of the Beetle. We've covered that. So I don't want to go into the modern stuff except to make a complaint. Because I don't want to keep this here too long. I'm
right.
going to complain about when the vehicle came back, which I think is a really efficient and unique, stylish, and reliable, mm-hmm. most importantly, vehicle.
Oh, sure. That thing created a lot of buzz. Do you remember how, it was kind of like almost like a celebrity type thing that you would see them.
Sure.
You'd see them here and there, and everybody would point and stare, and it was just because it had been gone from our landscape for so long that when it came back, and mm-hmm. here it looks so similar to the original.
Mm-hmm.
Similar.
And it's part of American culture, just the bug and sense.
Yeah, exactly.
Have you ever played Punch Bug?
I have.
I have been playing a continuous game of Punch Bug for about 15 years now.
That's great.
Me and my best friend. So
great, yeah.
I never know what's going to happen. But the one complaint I do have about the modern version, the newer version, when it first came out, the marketing was almost positioned as though it was meant to be just a girl's car.
Oh, careful, Ben.
I know. I know. And I wanted to put that out there to see if anybody else thought that. Now, I'm not saying the vehicle itself, but I'm saying the way it was marketed.
Okay, I could understand that. You're saying that it's not unheard of for man to drive a Volkswagen Beetle. However, it seems like it was directed towards a female audience.
And I don't know how they came up with that. Marketing research is something we have to cover in another podcast. But see, man, the ice is not as thin as you thought when I was taking you there.
No, I understand. Yeah. Mm. So stop the hate mail.
Please stop the death.
No, he's just saying that the marketing was pushed that way. And I think there have been other cars in history that have, kind of been, mm-hmm. I guess, pushed in that direction.
Yeah, it's interesting when you look back and see how a company decides to sell a car.
But then, is every other car marketed towards men? Or
you're taking us back on
that. Is it that they're marketed towards both and, just mm-hmm. whoever snatches it up.
Yeah, I think a lot of times it's marketed more by age.
Well, yeah, I think you're right.
Like, 1835, and then I don't know who makes a car and says this car is only for people 70 and up.
Yeah, no, I don't think anybody does that.
There might be. Who knows? You're probably right. But so with that...
Did somebody say, I thought I heard someone in the back of the room yell Buick.
What?
That's a rumor.
Oh, he's gone.
Yeah.
Whoever it was is
good.
Gone.
I'm glad that guy's out of the room.
Yeah, me too. Yeah. You're crazy.
Yeah.
You, the thing, yeah. are crazy.
Yeah.
Well, I guess that's, Clint, Gary, I hope we've answered your questions. Scott, one thing I'd like to do in the future is talk about some of these VW car clubs, too.
Yes.
They're everywhere.
Yeah, we just went through the
history.
Yeah, the evolution of this, the Beetle, really. And honestly, there's so many little pieces of this that we could tackle, we could go into. And I'm sure that, Clint and Gary are wishing for more. Mm-hmm. We can go into the camper wagons. We can go into the Baja Super Beetles. Mm-hmm. We can do all kinds of different things with this. The original ones with the oval shaped window with a split in the middle.
We know.
Yeah, there's a lot of this and the engine variations throughout the years. There's just mm-hmm. a lot of stuff that we can cover, on this one topic. So. Mm-hmm. This is just kind of the broad intro and, where we go from here, who knows?
Scott, the thing, Benjamin, I think that was a pretty awesome overview of stuff of the history of the VW Beetle. However, we've got more on the website, right?
Oh, yeah, we've got a lot on the website. We've got a lot of VW Beetle overview type articles mm-hmm. that you can find that they're broken up into...
Like years, like 60 to 69.
Something like that. Yeah, they're broken up into segments. A little bit irregular in the years that they're broken mm-hmm. up into, but I believe that's due to model changes and things like that.
Sure.
But very informative, pretty good information on that, mm-hmm. that site.
And, guys, we're about done here. We're going to head out... I don't know, maybe take a road trip, maybe go see if we can find that spider from earlier.
Yeah, that's right, that Can-Am. That's cool, yeah.
Yeah, and in the meantime, if you guys have any ideas for an upcoming episode, drop us a line. And, if there's anything else you would like to learn about automobiles, automotive technology, how to fix your car, or a thousand other fascinating things, visit our website, howstuffworks.com.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit HowStuffWorks.com. Let us know what you think. Send an email to podcast@HowStuffWorks.com. And be sure to check out the new High Speed Stuff blog, now on the HowStuffWorks homepage.
If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up. CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, from Wonder Media Network, I'm Jenny Kaplan, host of Womanica, a daily podcast that introduces you to the fascinating lives of women history has forgotten. We've always been intrigued by stories of disappearances, whether it's a fraudster from the 17th century who kept evading the authorities, or a novelist who taunted the Nazis and faked her own death. We all want to know, what happened next? To find out, listen to Womanica on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.